Welcome to the Wealth Building Made Simple podcast with Philip Washington Jr. Today's episode is brought to you by StonehillWealthManagement.com. Today, Philip talks about investing intelligence. Philip Washington Jr. is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. And now, here's Philip.
We are back with another episode of Wealth Building Made Simple, brought to you by StonehillWealthManagement.com, which is my wealth management company where we help people invest money for the future, in the future, and bring society forward. I'm going to do a side note before I go into the topic today, because today we're going to be talking about investing intelligence. But it was funny. I try to just, as it naturally comes up, talk to my kids about money and different things. So somehow we got on the topic of taxes, me and my 8-year-old. And he said something about, I don't know how we got into taxes or government spending or something like that. And I said, a really good tax rate would be like 10%. Like, that would be respectable, responsible. Nobody would have a problem paying it. If we managed our money right and put our priorities in order, like, we can run a great country. But that's not where the tax rates are. He said, well, where are they? I was like, it can be as high as like 40%. And he just naturally, oh my God, Daddy, that's like criminal. And I went, yes. And he's like, why do they take so much of our money? And I was like, because they can't manage their own money well. They don't manage the money well. They do things that don't make a lot of sense. They don't keep up with the times. They like to, go get in everybody else's business, right? Things that we talk about, you know. And I said, that's just expensive. Like, when you exert your energy on things that are outside of yourself, that's taxing energetically and financially. And I was like, so they just, I said, it is what it is, right? They're doing the best they can managing their energy. I said, but that's why it's important for you to understand money, so that you can do things that you can do to protect your money from taxes. And I say, son, I'm not going to even talk to you about how they take our money through inflation. I'll teach you about that. But that's why you invest, because they're going to get it through taxes or inflation when they can't manage their own energy, right? And so you have to learn how to manage yours so that you don't get taxed by the those who want to take yours. Let's get in this. That was I thought it was a great story, because at 8 years old, I didn't even understand taxes. And I feel like I was blessed with some really intelligent kids, so he got it, understood it. So let's roll to the next episode, or to the next topic, investing intelligence, right? This is important. I want to really just talk about the flow of information and how to process information better for investments. Because here's the reality. It's not really hard to know where to put your money, right? To get rich in investing, you really only got to find a few ideas that solve a lot of people's problems, right? When you find the ideas that people are less aware of today, but that it solves the problem, and then you ride the curve of awareness, meaning, like, go back a decade ago, like, everybody would love to have a computer in the palm of their hand, and then you were to see the iPhone, and then you would see the growing network and appreciation, the beauty of the iPhone, then you could have rolled that curve. Before that, you could have rolled the Amazon curve, the Microsoft curve, right? Like, investing is just being aware of what people desire, right? And then following the idea curve, right? And so the next natural question people have is, well, how do you know which idea will be the big winner, right? So there's the quantitative approach to it, the traditional way, you see on CNBC, Wall Street Journal, most podcasts, books, right? Finance classes, all the stuff that I went through the front half of my life about learning of investing, right? And so in that, through that way, you got to just process a lot of information, right? You got to turn over every rock and look at everything. And it's a hard, arduous, grueling process. But, right, it's necessary. You got to start the quantitative until you can get to the qualitative, which I'll explain. But you get to a point to where you say, oh, there's a qualitative way, which qualitative is more like how it feels or intuition. And once you learn how to use intuition, which we're using intuition either way, and I'll explain that, but intuition like narrows the data effortlessly, right? So let me sort of explain the difference between like intelligence and information. And as you know, I like to do like nerd word origins to sort of get the meaning of the word that was lost in translation. Intelligence really just means like flow, right? The flow. Information is like the data, the matter, right? It would be synonymous to like energy and matter, right? Energy is the intelligence that organizes the matter of the universe, right? Intelligence in the mind is the energy or the system that manages the information of the mind. And frequency. So here's what intuition does, right? Intuition is feeling, right? And feeling or intuition, which intuition is more of like how you explain the process of feeling. So I don't want to confuse you, but feeling sets the frequency of the thoughts we're attracted to. So think of it like a radio station. You're going to get a certain information based on like what radio station you turn to. Or let's upgrade the conversation to podcast channel, right? If you tune into my podcast, you know what you're going to get. If you tune into a different podcast, you're going to get something different, right? And this is not like mystic mumbo jumbo. Like this is like, you go into scientific data and the rhythm of the heart affects perception of the mind, right? That's scientific, right? But it also mirrors with what the mystics talks about. So it's doubly true, what they call it, doubly true, right? So intuition is being attracted to something based on how it feels, resonance, right? That unexplained feeling. I like this. I don't know why. I'm attracted to this. I don't know why. So we resonate with we can only resonate with what feels like home internally to us, right? This is going to be important to build up, understanding how this works. So if you're wanting to raise your intuition around wealth attractive ideas, you got to first know how wealth feels, right? Because here's what happens. If you got the intuitive part of the mind, and then you got the part of the mind that just processes data, right? The analytical part of the mind. And so if you're using the analytical part of your mind to process the data, and then it becomes in conflict with your intuitive part of the mind or how you feel about it, that's when you have like indecision, right? You don't have any harmony. You have disharmony, and it becomes really hard to make a decision because you're feeling, say, one thing because this is how you feel about it. Like you can hear what I said about like understanding about technology and Apple stock, but because you have a lack feeling around money, then you're going to have conflict and indecision and you won't fully understand it. Let me kind of work through the feels and I'll build that example back up. But so how does wealth feel, right? Wealth feels like freedom. Wealth feels like optimism, right? You're optimistic when you have money. Because you got options. Patience, right? No rush. I'm good. Like when you had $100 million in the bank and you get an investment opportunity, there's no rush. I'm rich, right? I'm good. Like I'm here to just make the best decision. Passion, right? Passion, you feel like when you have money, right? You become like very caring about money, right? Because you understand it. Security, right? You have $100 million in the bank. You feel very secure financially, right? Independent, right? How does poverty feel? Hopeless? Pessimistic about the future? Impatient, right? Impatient meaning like if you get an opportunity, I got to get it now. I got to get it now, right? Short-term type stuff because you don't have a solid foundation. Apathy, right? I know a lot of people who are apathetic to wealth. Right? They don't have any passion about money, apathetic, blah. because it's because of the hopelessness. Insecure, obligated. Some people, and I'm pausing for the super sensitives, right? They may go, oh, you're being harsh on poverty. I'm just telling you how poverty feels. There's no judgment on either one of these. I'm just saying these are the feeling frequencies of how both of these feel, right? And so when you're thinking about an investment or your money, you want to be mindful about how you feel when you're thinking about money and investments. Most of us just feel in the background. We just have these thoughts and we, and our mood does this, and we have no correlation between the thoughts in our head and our feelings because we don't think clearly because, like, just, it's, and most people just react to, like, what's going on in the environment. This is why meditation is good, because it clears your mind and you become aware of the wave movements of your mind. That's the interaction between your thoughts and your emotions, right? So you learn to be mindful about how you feel so you can make the correlation between the subject and your feeling. And so I'm going to give an example of, like, of thinking from both frequencies or thinking from both minds and the harmony versus disharmony if you're not operating it right. So artificial intelligence, right? You look at artificial intelligence and you can read about the productivity of it, about the history of when we got machines, when we got computers, electronics, and you can read about how people were fearful about jobs for the future, and you can read about how those that ran towards the future and learned how to use these things became a generationally wealthy, right, because they made a lot of money and income. And you can read about how as they did that and ran towards it, it created a new foundation for society, which built more jobs than society ever had before. It, right? So you can read about it. You can go, yeah, like the you can read about this over and over and over again for each technological innovation that we got. And we always think it's going to displace jobs and it always creates a better future. Like, you can read about that. But then from an emotional standpoint, if you're in fear about the future because the future is uncertain, then you get these dystopian visions of the future where you go, oh, the future's going to suck. Well, the future's never sucked. Literally nobody on the planet wants to go back in time, right, and live in a previous time frame. They may want to bring certain conditions from the past forward, right, that benefited, that they thought was beneficial to them uniquely forward, right, like the Make America Great Again stuff, right? And I'm not going to get into what they mean by that. What I'm saying is, you want to, nobody wants to go in the past, right? Nobody wants to go backwards is what I'm going with. Look, y'all saw me get stuck in the thought. I had to process some not good feeling emotions about the energy behind that statement, right? I do want America to be great, right? I think it's always getting greater, right? So at the core of the slogan, I understand the meaning, but it don't mean that thing to everybody because there's people who use that for a specific purpose. Let's move forward. I had to say that to get that out of my spirit. So you look at artificial intelligence, and so you got to balance, right? You go, I'm fearful about the future because it's uncertain, but I understand technology makes things better, right? So now you're blocked from making good decisions for your for maybe working in the industry or using the technology for yourself because you're conflicted. Right? There's a conflict. There's disharmony between the two ways that you process information. Right? So you got to harmonize it. Right? Meaning you need to get your spirit or your feeling side to harmonize with, like, the data that you're looking at, right? Because by the way, what's going to happen too, since artificial intelligence has people who are pessimistic about it, people who are optimistic about it, guess which ones you're going to be attracted to, right? You may read it all, but what's going to stick in your mind is the stuff that resonates with how you feel, the fear stuff, right? You're going to resonate with that, and you're going to go, yeah, that's true. Well, but the positive is also true, right? And the positive is what moves life forward, and the positive is what always happens. The difference is you. Like, you're going to stay in time, or you're going to move forward based on your resonance, because things are always working out for humanity. And so We go to Bitcoin, right? Everybody goes, oh man, you know, we never had a money that government at the we never been in a situation where we never had cyberspace, first of all, right? Then we never had a money that governments couldn't create more of and make the value of our money go down. We never had that, right? And so you work through your process of never had, but where you don't go is you go, well, study the facts of Bitcoin, which takes a while, and you look at it and you go, no, government is good for, I mean, Bitcoin is good for governments, right? It changes the dynamic of the value proposition for governments, but Bitcoin is good for governments. Bitcoin is good for the people. Bitcoin is good for energy and alternative energy creation, right? I'm not going to go into the how. You need to do your own research, but you're going to go through it and you're going to be like, it's good for it. But it's a lot of information. So if you start with the premise of what does Bitcoin do, it helps people protect the value of their money, right? Is that a good thing? Absolutely. Can I get into the feeling of wealth? Can I feel optimistic about it as I process the information so I can see the good, right? Because right now you only have one perspective, the negative that you feel towards uncertainty. But feel the good and then make the decision from a balanced perspective, and it becomes super clear what Bitcoin is going to do for humanity and for society and like the upward trend for that, right? I'll do one last one, right? So, you know, so I'm thinking about a lot of business owners right now who are struggling, right? Because banks are cutting their lending, right? What's basically happening in the world is when money tightens, banks want to lend to the safest credit, which means like the bigger you are, the more assets you are, you're getting all the money. And if you're small or medium sized business, like if you're a Main Street business and you're not growing at some crazy number, you're just a regular everyday business that's trying to serve the community, but you're not growing at 20-30% a year, that means you get startup capital. Like banks don't want to lend to you. Family offices don't want to give you any money, right? Because like everybody wants to give money to the safe bet when money is tight, which means you got a lot of assets or you're growing fast. And so that's crushing a lot of businesses, period, right? But it continues the destruction of it because the credit creation or the money created, which is expanding the money supply, is being given to the top and the bottom is being starved. And so people look at that and like some businesses if you don't understand what I said and you run a business, pause and go listen to that, because that is why your business is struggling, right? The money, right? And so if you pause and you go, okay, cool. There's information out there of people, and I've said it on the podcast multiple times before, but there's of people that have a solution for it. It becomes, oh, okay. If the core of my business is to earn money, right, and to turn that money into an increasing net worth, right, then you sort of break your paradigm shift and you say, okay, I can, if my business is growing at 5% a year, right, and so I can use technology to decrease my expenses, right? I can like readjust my worldview. I can maybe work location independent, lower my overhead. I can use technology to automate some things, right? I can upgrade my business, which frees up some cash flow. And then that cash flow, I can think like a micro strategy. This is my strategy now too. I can think and say, man, if I got an extra 50 grand a year, right? And I freed up from doing things, I can just grow my cash flows at 5% a year. I don't have to reinvest the 50 grand into growing the business, right? If I'm not comfortable, it's going to even grow it at a faster rate, right? I can take the 50 grand and I can go buy Bitcoin, or I can give it to a wealth manager that's going to grow it at a high rate in things that are growing fast. And in a decade, I can have the net worth I want anyway without needing to build a superly large business, right? Because in the current way that business is done, it requires you to build this complex org structure, right, to survive. And if most people are honest with themselves, like not everybody's the same, me specifically, I don't want a large org chart, right? I got into a business for freedom, right? I want as small as the organizations as I can run, and I want to be rich, right? And like everything else is commentary. And so, when your primary way to process data is feeling, right? Meaning like I want freedom, optimism, patience, passion, security, independence, right? I look out at the world and I'm attracted to opportunities that give me more of that, you know? And I'm not like, you can be free and all those things and have a big org chart, but I'm just saying, I'm also open to possibilities of building a business and other people, like, because not just me, like the level of new age wealth builders that are building wealth, that are rich and wealthy, like, well, you know, like, that I'm looking up to, that are doing it in far less time with way more freedom, it's unbelievable, right? You got the old culture that said work 80 hours a week, do this, do that, and then they'll go, these young people don't want to work. Well, because they're listening to the podcast of guys that work 4 hours a week and make $1 million a year. like, is it lazy or is it logical? Because there's a way to do it, because there's so much opportunity and so many people who are close to the opportunity. And so like that creates the arbitrage. I mean, like if you run to it and you're open-minded and you're doing it, you can make a lot of money, right? And if you take that money and you store it in places that cannot be manipulated by people in the middle that are trying to, you know, fix the broken system with more credit, then you really win, right? So that's what I'm here about. That's why I'm building a podcast. That's why I have a wealth management company, because I'm like, hey, listen, I'm, you know, there's a flood coming, happening, and the flood is just progress, right? The flood is not some flood distinct for this moment in time. Like, it's just progress. Progress is always happening. And I'm just trying to be a catalyst to help people move with the progress so that they can enjoy more freedom, optimism, patience, passion, security, independence. But the only way to get there is to be there now and feeling. You won't get there because you can't recognize the destination until you feel it to be true in your own heart. So feel it, and it becomes easy to process the people who are out here telling you the way, right? It's like your eyes open, right? If you don't hear what I'm saying right now, you're not in the right emotional place. Go meditate. Go appreciate something. Come back and listen to the podcast. It'll make more sense. But if it's not making sense, trust me, I promise you, I'm not being egotistical. If you don't understand what I'm saying, then you're just not in a good emotional place right now. And that's cool, right? We all where we are in different places in time. There's places where I don't understand stuff because I am emotionally stuck and I got to check myself and go balance myself out and then come back and process it. But hope this helps. Until next week, enjoy yourself.
Philip Washington Jr. is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. Past performance is not indicative of future performance.